Pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Faith alone, if you've looked ahead or if you're right on track with what is in your bulletin this morning, you will see that the sermon or message title is Faith Alone. Is faith alone enough to right our wrongs? Is faith alone enough to save us? Or do we have to do something else to be saved? And so we come to the age-old theological question of faith versus works. Does our work, what we do, make us faithful, or does our doing come out of our faithfulness? Since starting our series on the five slogans of the Reformation, we've been talking a lot about Martin Luther. You know Martin Luther, he was that faithful and somewhat feisty. I figured he needed to be feisty to be the catalyst for the Reformation. Anyway, he was a faithful and feisty Catholic monk. He believed strongly that the Catholic Church of the day had strayed far from the teachings of Jesus. And he was hopeful, not of starting a whole bunch of different denominations, but only of reforming the church he loved and had committed his life to. Among those things that the church had gotten off track with, that Martin Luther particularly objected to, was the church leaders requiring members, parishioners, to do all kinds of works in order to be made right with God, in order to be saved. So I think if there was a central slogan or a central tenet of the Reformation, from Martin Luther's perspective, it very well might be faith alone. It is faith alone that makes us right with God. But what does that really mean? And is faith alone enough? And if faith alone is enough, how in the world are we going to do all the stuff that has to be done? Because there's a lot of stuff that has to be done, right? We've already heard two scripture passages, thank you, Pat, on the subject of faith and works. And I want to read another one from a little book in the back of the New Testament from James. Hear these words. Listen for maybe more questions that are raised than answers given. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. So this is the word of God, and we will proceed to continue our understanding of faith and works. When I was in the corporate world, which was where I was at the time God called me to enter seminary and prepare for vocational ministry, I took pride and was rewarded for my high productivity. I excelled at getting a lot done and growing the accounts we had and bringing in lots of new business, all of which contributed to increasing the company's bottom line. I had lots of good works. That was the way I was raised. Maybe some of you were raised that way too. Do you remember what that little phrase is called? The Protestant work ethic. Work hard. Rick is shaking his head. Protestant work ethic. Isn't that interesting? It's got that religious word in there. Protestant work ethic. Work hard. Work harder. Work smarter. Nose to the grindstone. More effort. More results. It's all about productivity and success. Ever since our Puritan forefathers and foremothers crossed the ocean seeking refuge in this country, there has been a strong thread in the fabric of the American culture that hard work is godly. Recently, I heard a prominent man described this way. He does good work. He's a good person. He behaves like a Christian. He might as well be a Christian. Is that what being a Christian means? Is it about how we act? Or is it about something else? The man being described lacked one thing. Sadly, he did not believe in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Without faith in Jesus, his good works, his good behavior, will not bring him one step closer to God. If you know who God made you to be, then you are being drawn closer to God. And that's the crux to understanding the relationship between faith, faith alone, and works. Simply said, who God made us to be is sufficient. We don't have to do anything to prove we are good enough for God. God already knows all about me and all about each of you. He knows we are good because he created us. Remember Genesis? In the beginning, God looked at what he had created and called us good. Okay, so if doing doesn't create being, where does being come from? In a nutshell, upside down, inside out. Did you get that? It comes from upside down, inside out. That's where being comes from. Sounds like the title of a Dr. Seuss book. That's kind of what I've always thought. The upside down, inside out was coined by a good friend and a mentor to me to explain our true relationship with God. Upside down, upside down. It is God that creates us. That's our being. Our being comes from God. And therein lies our faith. A free gift from God, initiated by God as we are open to participate in this divine relationship. The second part, inside out, is, I believe, where we know and accept who we are inside, our values, our beliefs, ourselves, and then from that solid place within us, we can begin the outward faith journey of putting into action our faith through good works, our being through good works. But we live in such an outside-in culture that it can be very difficult to practice upside down, inside out. That's why it's so important to have a firm grasp of upside down, and the truth that God created us and our true being is from God. Inside out means that we act, we do, out of who God made each of us to be. It's definitely countercultural, isn't it? That's not what the news tells us. That's not what the advertisements tell us. That's not what most anything out there tells us. What the outside tells us is that we can make our being by our doing. There are many pressures, of course, in the world around us that can tamper with the truth of who we really are and the undeniable fact that our being comes from God. The truth is that we are made right with God because of what God in Christ has already done for us, not because of anything we do. It's all about who God is and what God has done. So our work, our doing, comes from our faith in who God has made us to be and what God in Christ has done for us. When we try to live life upside down, inside out, our doing comes from our faith in who God made us to be. Faith is part of our being. And to read again a verse that Pat read, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." That good works is often described as the fruit of our labor. In fact, the Matthew passage that Pat also read uses that very term. It says that we will be known by our fruits and speaks of good trees producing good fruit and bad trees producing bad fruit. So imagine, are you with me? So imagine that you are in an apple orchard. You can close your eyes or lower your eyes if it's helpful for you to imagine. So imagine for a minute that you are in an apple orchard. You are surrounded by apple trees. Breathe in, smell the sweetness of the apples in the air. Now listen. What do you hear? Listen carefully. All around you, the apple trees are hard at work making apples. So what do you hear? Do you hear? You don't hear the apple trees squeezing out the apples, do you? You don't hear that straining, because making apples comes naturally to apple trees. They are simply producing out of who God made them to be. Remember, God made you and me to be good trees. God made us to produce good fruit. So our works arise naturally out of who God made each and every one of us to be. Producing from who we are, being true to who God made each of us to be, is the true understanding of the relationship between faith and works. I do believe that that is what all three of our scriptures this morning is pointing to. Sometimes we can get so caught up and even mired in our doing that we lose track of who God made us to be. As for me, I have to confess that I've gotten stuck in the muck more times than I like to remember. It can happen when I just keep doing what I've always done. Or when I take on a little more work here or a little more work there, with little thought to how that work really aligns with my God-given being. It can happen to anyone. Maybe you can relate. And I think to myself, in all this doing, what am I trying to prove anyway? And to whom? A while back, when I was serving on the Presbyterian Nominating Committee, I asked one of our church members who had been serving, I think at least one, maybe two terms, on a Presbytery committee. And I asked her if she might possibly consider re-upping, serving one more term. You know how that is. That was one of my jobs, to get people to serve on committees. So I asked her, and she said yes. And of course, I was delighted. Job done. And then a little bit later, she came back to me and she said, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that. And she explained a little bit about, she really felt that God wanted her to do something else. And she felt this something else that God wanted her to do was more reflective of her being at this time in life. And so, with that decision, began the planting of the seed that would grow into our monthly community dinners. Are you mired in doing, having lost touch with your God-given being and the good fruit that comes from doing out of our being? Are you putting the cart before the horse by living from the outside in, as our culture pulls us into doing so often? Imagine what your life and the lives of those that you love would be like if you worked out of your being and your faith in what God has already done for you. The good news, I think, for us this morning is twofold. First, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are saved by that belief, faith alone, because all the doing that needs to be done for salvation has been already accomplished by Jesus. And then secondly, the second part of the good news is that God desires for us to live out of our being and do good works. That's how he made us. God made us to be faithful and do good work. Upside down, inside out. What is it? Upside down, inside out. Charles, I know you're saying it in your heart. Upside down, inside out, faith alone, bearing good fruit. Amen.